From West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beth Voorhees. Governor Tomlin continues to be briefed on the current state of emergency in Boone, Cabell, Clay, Jackson, Kanawha, Lincoln, Logan, Putnam, and Roane counties. The governor dispatched the state's Department of Environmental Protection to Freedom Industries, which is located along the Elk River in Charleston yesterday, ordering it to halt further leaching of the particular chemical into the river. An emergency response team has worked to develop a testing protocol and a sampling plan on the chemical at issue. Initial samples have been taken, and additional sampling and testing will continue throughout this situation. The sampling plan is being coordinated with the West Virginia American Water Company and the State Bureau of Public Health and emergency responders. There's still no word on when water will be safe to use and consume. Overnight, water supplies have been relocated and have begun to be distributed to affected areas. You're to call your local emergency service office to locate the closest distribution point for your area and continue to refrain from using the water for drinking, cooking, cleaning, bathing, and washing. Do not boil this water or use it in supply oxygen machines. Governor Tomlin says the main focus continues to center around hospitals, nursing homes, and those most vulnerable. Meanwhile, U.S. Attorney Booth Goodwin today said he is opening an investigation into the chemical leak. Goodwin says the release of a potentially dangerous chemical into the water supply has put hundreds of thousands of West Virginians at risk, severely disrupted the region's economy, and upended people's daily lives. His office and other federal law enforcement authorities have opened an investigation into the circumstances surrounding the release to determine what caused it and take whatever action is appropriate based on the evidence that's uncovered. Ashton Mara has just returned from a press conference held this morning about this situation. Ashton, what did you learn?
So the press conference this morning was held at the West Virginia Water Treatment Plant in Charleston, the treatment plant that handles the water supply for all nine of these counties, which seems like a strange thing that all of these areas are coming from this one place, but that's how it works. So the press conference this morning was with Jeff McIntyre, the company president, and the message he's sending to the public is that he's not sure the drinking water is unsafe, but he's not sure it's safe either. He's asking customers in all nine counties to heed their warning and do not use the water for any reason other than to flush. Like you said, Beth, there's still no timeline on when water would return. At this point, we're still not even sure how much of the chemical leaked into the river. That's why there's no way for the company to know how much of it has diluted into their water system. What they are saying is when they do know, and they're working with a team of water specialists and scientists right now, but when they do know, they will then be able to determine if they can flush the system in zones, getting the chemical completely out of their pipes. But just the flushing process could take anywhere from hours to days, according to McIntyre. We're told there's been no contact between Freedom Industries and West Virginia American Water, which is a little alarming because it seems that all of the information that American Water is getting is coming from the state DEP, which is good. But you have to realize that this chemical storage place, this chemical storage facility, is only a mile upstream from where hundreds of thousands of West Virginians receive their drinking water supply. And there's no contact between those two companies. That's fairly alarming. It's also shocking that if there were no odor detected in the drinking water yesterday, we still may not know that this chemical was in our drinking water system. The company is saying that they were notified that a substance had leaked into the Elk River yesterday a little bit before noon, but they were told that it was the wrong chemical. The initial chemical, they were told, was something that the treatment plant would have been able to handle. Mm-hmm. But around 4 o'clock, as they continued to monitor the water system, they started to smell this odor of licorice.
Yes.
That lots of people are
that
reporting.
That was prominent yesterday, yes.
Lots of people are reporting this strong smell of licorice. And McIntyre says that odor was being smelled from the water that was coming through the treatment plant, water that was already cleaned, ready to go out into the system. And that's when they decided, you cannot use this water. We don't know what's in it. So right now, a lot of shocking information, a lot of unsettling things coming from that press conference this morning. But all we can say is Do not use the water. Mm-hmm. Try to find a distribution location, but please remain calm, remain patient. They're doing everything that they can.
Ashton Mara, good job. Thank you very much. For more about this chemical and how it affects the environment, we turn to Mark Glass, who's a licensed remediation specialist with Downstream Strategies, an environmental consulting service in Morgantown. Mr. Glass, hello.
Hello, Beth.
So you learned a little bit about this situation that we have here in the Charleston area. What can you tell us about this chemical?
Well, my understanding from the reports by the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection is it's a chemical it's actually a mixture of several different chemicals that are used in the coal processing to separate fines from other particles in the coal. And one of the main constituents of that, somewhere between 70% and 90%, is the 4-methylcyclohexamethanol. And that product, of course, as a methanol, has some characteristics of an alcohol, and therefore, when it gets in the water, you can expect some of it to go to a gas phase, which is what everybody's smelling, but also that it would be miscible and mix relatively well in the water. Mm-hmm. It would be just a little bit lighter than the water, but probably not enough to perform a pronounced sheen on the top of the water, like an oil or something like mm-hmm. that might.
So you can't see it?
No, because it's my understanding, at least from the individual constituents, I'm not personally familiar with this product, but mm-hmm. Just what I've been able to research about the things, the ingredients of that product, is most of them are clear liquids, and some of them are strong odorants mm-hmm. and actually used in industries as fragrance enhancers.
It's, it's being described as a foaming agent.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that is?
The foaming agent is just means that it's a chemical added to the process for cleaning or washing coal. So when you mix air with it, it basically forms a foam that preferentially helps separate, as I mentioned, some of the fine particulates that are on coal to clean it.
It's sudsy. Is it toxic?
It is toxic, although the toxicity data, it's different for the different constituents. The 4-methylcyclohexamethanol has a lethal dose in rats, I believe, something above 2,000 milligrams per gram, which is a pretty high dose. But it does have irritant effects for respiratory and ingestion and dermal contact, so on your skin, mm-hmm. It could be an irritant. It's all of this, though, is really a function of the amount of exposure any individual encounters. So whether you're breathing it or it gets on your skin or you're drinking it, it's a function of the concentration and how long that exposure exists to determine what a health effect would be.
What is the testing process? We see that samples have been taken, additional sampling, and they're developing a testing protocol. What does that mean?
Well, I think the problem is that a lot of the testing protocols are derived for contaminants of specific interest. So, you know, for example, the EPA or the West Virginia DEP may say, hey, this is a contaminant. We need to have a standardized way for people to investigate. So they would develop a testing method that's reproducible and can be published and that everybody can use the same method so the results are comparable. For this particular compound that they're looking at, there isn't such a method like that exists specifically for this compound, although it's very similar to a lot of other compounds. There's a couple of methods that will probably work. It's just, it hasn't been utilized, especially in environmental applications, you know, when we're looking at the way it moves an environment. I would expect that if there's some more time to talk between the chemical manufacturing industry, surely has ways to look at these. And I have spoken with one of the laboratories that's based in Charleston that's an environmental laboratory, among the other services that they provide, and they are working to use a method called 8260 or possibly 8015, which should be able to identify these compounds. They just recently have obtained purity standards to compare those results to so that they'll actually be able to come up with a concentration.
And the numbers you just used, are those the established protocols? Is that how you refer to them?
Well, those are methodologies that are established for compounds that are similar to these compounds, so I would expect they would also be applicable. There are some volatile constituents and some carbon-based constituents that should show up in the EPA method 8260. And also, because of the alcohol nature, they might be identifiable by EPA method 8015.
You're a remediation specialist. Any thoughts on how to clean this up? What to do?
Well, as far as its fate and transport in the environment, I already talked a little bit about how I think it'll move in the water. Something I don't know but would be kind of curious about is what the demand on oxygen as the product breaks down in the environment, how much oxygen does it take out of the water and what effect would that have? What is its biological oxygen demand? Mm-hmm. So you would wonder about its affecting the availability of oxygen for aquatic organisms. Mm-hmm. In soil, I would expect it to not stick to the soil very readily and probably be pretty leachable. If it's in the soil, it could move through it and probably get to groundwater too.
And that's very shocking that it could seep into groundwater.
Mm-hmm. Possible, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. And then once it gets there, of course, it's less accessible to like physical means of recovery. So, common things as far as cleanup methodologies, if you are able to excavate soil, and it should respond to air sparging or
what is that?
Where you literally physically move air, sometimes at temperature, through atmosphere. To get it to go to the gas phase and then where it dilutes in the atmosphere. And also sorption using common things like granular activated carbon. In fact, I'm sure that the water treatment plant has a granular activated carbon treatment phase, which would get out any of these organic chemicals. It should absorb them. The concern there is that if you saturate the capacity of your system to do that,
mm-hmm. This shows that this is a serious situation. This is more than just not being able to use your water. This is something that this area is going to have to deal with, it sounds like, for a while.
I can't really be too sure about how long this should persist. The fact that odors have been present for
at least
some
a day.
Time now is, mm-hmm. yeah, is indicates that there's probably a good amount of mm-hmm. it around, and why it's not moving along mm-hmm. Makes me concerned and certainly brings questions to the quantity that was released and how it is distributed.
All right. Mark Glass, a licensed remediation specialist with Downstream Strategies in Morgantown, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Beth.
Dave Mistich has been monitoring this situation all night long and through this morning. Dave, what can you tell us?
Well, as one might expect, social media has been a very, very, very busy outlet for this situation. Charleston City and Kanawha County officials seem, as is to be expected, rather disappointed in the events over the past few days, over the past day. Mm-hmm. Mayor Danny Jones says it has been devastating to the public and the people of Charleston. Kanawha County Commissioner Kent Carper says the advisory is unprecedented in this region and there hasn't been enough planning in dealing with the issue. C.W. Sigmund of Kanawha County Emergency Management said it took a while to realize material was actually going into the river, and the company did not tell officials it was doing that. Mm-hmm. As I said, social media is a great tool in a situation such as this. The best thing I can suggest right now is to follow reporters that you trust around the state. I'll be live tweeting and retweeting reporters from the various newspapers and television stations. It is the public. They are members of the public. We are public broadcasting. It only makes sense to cite sources that we trust, and we do trust these folks. But I do suggest that you follow WV Public News. Beth, myself, and Ashton Mara, we'll all have updates as whatever we come up with, you'll be able to find it there. Once again, that's at WV Public News.
And Dave Mistich is our digital news coordinator, so folks can go to our website, wvpublic.org, and get all kinds of information about water distribution centers and where they are, on any kind of latest information that we have to pass along to you will be on our website, wvpublic.org. Dave Mistich, thank you very much. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Beth Voorhees.